Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 664 for February 4th, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson, and I am joined today by Jocelyn Kearney, sitting over there. Hi, Joss.
Hello, hello.
Nice to see you back. Also, of course, Garrett Weinzerl, sitting right over there. Hello, Garrett.
Happy Friday.
Hey, man, you got like a hand on your chest that's like doing this to me. What's that about? What's going on?
And then there's some kanji down there.
Oh, what does it say?
It says chopped.
Oh, all right. Chopped. Like the
obviously.
Yeah, obviously. Duh.
This is a shirt from my favorite YouTube channel.
Oh, is it really?
They're Australian dudes that work on cars.
Oh, yeah. You're car stuff. Why Garrett is still not the number one YouTuber in the car category, I don't understand. We need to get that happening.
Because you need a lot of money because you need cars to work on. Otherwise, it's a real boring channel.
That's a good point. Nobody wants to just sit and talk about them, do they? They have
it's
to
cost prohibitive.
Yeah. You're not going to just sit
Could you like mime it? Have like an invisible car and be like, if I was working on this thing, yeah. I'd put my hand here and twist that thing.
I do the same thing every time. It's called oil changes and tire rotations. Nobody wants to watch that happen more than once.
Yeah. That's cool though. I'd still love to hear you talk about things like, Tesla announced blah, 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 and we think that's not as cool as the other electric blah blah blah. And,
I don't want to talk about Tesla. They're scary. They're a cult, and I don't like when cult people get mad at me.
They are kind of culty. Send your emails if that makes you mad, but you're kind of culty, you Tesla
don't
people.
Don't piss off the cultists.
They're just mad. They're just weird and mad all the time. I don't know what's going on with them. Well, anyway, we're not weird or mad.
Let's talk about a different cult.
Yeah, let's talk about a World of Warcraft cult in 2022. A real fast note here. They had an earnings call over there at Blizzard Activision, and deep down in there, well, it wasn't a call. It was a report. But deep down, kind of buried in the text, was confirmation that a World of Warcraft mobile title is coming out in 2022. That's this year, by the way. I just want to remind everybody. It's not next year. That's like now.
It is not still 2020, just
no,
so
it's not
clear.
Sometimes you gotta check, I realize, but it is absolutely not 2020. So that thing's supposed to be out this year. I don't know when, and we have no other details about it. Except that this would beat Immortal to market, which is really weird. Garrett, you even on Twitter made a comment that kind of cracked me up. You're like, let's use the big, giant, public facing format of BlizzCon in 2018 to assemble 30,000 people plus umpteen million at home. And announce Immortal, a Diablo Immortal on mobile, and then not delete or deliver that forever. Still haven't. But then this thing, let's bury it down in the notes and let it slip that it's coming out this year. That's insane. Isn't that weird?
Well, I do also think, like, technically the earnings report, everyone's calling it a game or a mobile title, but the earnings report just says new mobile World of Warcraft content, new mobile Warcraft content. Which we already have a mobile app, so that could kind of mean anything. Like, they could put, I guess mission tables are already on there, but like they could just add to that, and technically that's new mobile content. So I think a lot of this stuff might potentially be setting expectations really high, and then they're going to be like, you can access your Battle Pet collection and look at it on mobile. And then they're like, that's our mobile content. Like,
sure. Excuse me, Jocelyn. I would be very excited. I would be very excited to rotate my adorable little pets on my phone. Okay.
Yeah. I want to full on just do the battles there. That might get me back in
well,
the game.
Well, yeah, and I think pet battles has always been something that's been like thrown around as it would transfer well from the Warcraft universe over to mobile. But I'm not even talking about like battle functionality. I'm saying like you can just look at your collection. Mm. Like that could technically be mobile content. So until they tell us what it is, don't assume it's like Diablo Immortal. Assume it's basically nothing.
Yeah, I think that's actually probably the right way to handle a thing like this. And people are all flipping out about it. But at the end of the day, if this ends up being, it'll actually be worse for them for not explaining themselves if this just turns out to be an added tab on the mobile app that they already have. And people are going to be like, oh, we thought we were getting a game. And it's not even their fault. They didn't give us game expectations, but they gave us something, and it's enough to make players lose their minds. So if I were Blizzard, I'd get out in front of this and go, hey, just for some clarification, this is not a full game coming this year. We would have announced that already if that was true. This is a blah, and then just tell us.
This is an app update. Yeah, because everyone, like, it's not anyone's fault, I don't think. Unless you went and read the earnings report, most of the reporting is just new Warcraft game coming to mobile. Oh my God. It's like, but is it though? Yeah. Like, where's your comprehension level?
It doesn't matter. Because you want to get those clicks.
You want the clicks. Yeah, exactly.
You want the click. Although
you don't have to be accurate if people are clicking your title.
I will say it does feel like they wouldn't bother mentioning it if it was just an update to the existing app. Like that's living in the back of my mind.
Yeah, why would they announce that? Because that's a weird thing to announce in an earnings report. You know, that's odd.
Yeah. Unless they're doing the headline trick to their shareholders is the only thing I can think of. But the shareholders are a little. I would assume they're a bit on edge right now.
A little bit.
So maybe don't piss them off.
Yeah, don't make those guys mad. Don't make that cult mad. That's another cult you don't want to piss off.
Yeah, so my brain goes there. I think everything you just said, Joss, is like super plausible. But it also, there's it's a nagging feeling in my brain that they wouldn't bother mentioning it if it wasn't some kind of like standalone thingy. Mm-hmm.
But would they just throw it as like the second half of a sentence in an earnings report if it was on the level of Diablo Immortal?
I have thoughts.
Okay.
Right. I have thoughts.
Okay.
No one was happy about Diablo Immortal. It was bad press and it hurt the stock price. They just announced acquisition by Microsoft, which sent the stock skyrocketing to a point that made me go, God damn it, why didn't I buy some when I thought about buying some?
Yeah.
And that's so like they're doing well right now, at least as far as value of the company is concerned. Mm-hmm. You know, us at home are like, hey, we would still like a games would be nice. But as far as corporate America is concerned, they're doing just fine.
Yeah, they're doing better than they were 3 weeks ago, which is what that matters to them. So yeah, who knows? I don't know. Like we talked last week about the announcement of the survival game coming right on the heels of this announcement. I don't think that was an accident or just happenstance. Of course they would do that. Why wouldn't they do that? Like put the best bow on
I think that was still double-edged too, right? Because they've been bleeding talent. And so while, yes, it's a good time to announce it to kind of like make the company look good while it's already looking good because they're going to a new leadership. I think it's also good, like it's good timing to attract talent. Like, hey, Kotick's only here for one more year. Come work on a cool game, please. Mm-hmm. Will Riot please stop taking all our talent? Was kind of how I also felt about it. I think it all kind of worked. I think that was just a win-win-win for them.
Between Riot and all the spinoffs of Blizzard, they sucked up all the big names that they used to have.
But back to the mobile thing, like, because I was talking to some folks on Twitter about it, and a lot of, like, I was just kind of cracking wise. A lot of folks were like, well, I think this is smart. There's a lot of money in mobile. It's very successful. It's very successful in China, where Blizzard has already a strong foothold. And I don't disagree with any of that. But I think at the end of the day, you do still need to like take into account like the stuff, like make mobile games, but like maybe they're doing a new strategy where like maybe we just don't make a big deal about it because U.S. isn't going to be our biggest market for it anyway. But the U.S. is the most vocal affect your public image market. And it really is.
Like, yeah, it's true.
Reddit, the people commenting on the forums, the people writing on Kotaku's and Polygons and PC Gamers and all of that type of stuff, a lot of them are North Americans. A lot of it is English speaking, essentially, is what I'm trying to say. Because you also have a lot of European writers as well.
Of course.
That's just all my thoughts about it. It's just, I don't know. It's fun to look at the strategy of it. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's playing a role where they're like, yeah, maybe we don't need to make a big deal of it because it's just going to make people mad.
I have to ask myself if I am willing to spend $15 a month just for a transmog like dress up app, you know, like give me an app where I'm just dragging a chest piece over and going, oh, that's nice. Let's see if these boots match and just do that all day. Is that worth my $15 a month? I don't know. Probably not. I'm thinking
I'd be into that, especially if I could add things I don't have and it would tell me where to go to get it. And I can make like a transmog shopping list.
Oh, that isn't bad. The game should have more of that anyway.
Tons of add-ons to do that.
There are, but they're not good. They're all janky.
They're all basic functionality in the transmog, like built-in stuff.
Yeah. The problem with those mods is those mods always seem super janky to me and never really quite did what I was hoping it to do. There is a better version of my transmog shopping list yet to be made, or at least last I played the game, they didn't exist in the way I wanted it.
But there's also something to be said for stuff like that that you can have fun with when you're not able to play the game.
Yeah.
Which is when I am screwing around on my phone.
Yeah, which is why I want the pets.
Don't worry. They'll just put an in-app purchases thing and you'll be able to just like select from a store all the pieces of armor that you'd like to have. And for a mere $9.99, you can have it, Garrett.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all yours. And if there's a good enough mod,
No need to go in the game at all.
If there's a good enough add-on, Adhesive Wombat has a good point.
Play a game. You know, I've got this great new game. It's so realistic. It's called Going to the Store.
Yeah. Yeah, the store.
They've got physical dressing rooms.
What? What?
Yeah, and you can go in and they have mirrors. And depending on what state you're in, you may or may not need to wear a mask.
Wow. Well, your state, you'll be all right in Florida. You'll be fine. Actually, in most of my state as well. Yeah. Look for the red ones is all I'm saying. Hey, moving on. Let's get to our big topic this week, which is still about Warcraft. Funny enough, check it out. The inevitable but seemingly impossible has happened, you guys. WoW has gone cross-faction, or shortly will. Only took about 10 years since we started asking about that on this show and everybody else and their dog asking for such a thing. It's going to happen. And right now, the Alliance and Horde are very separated, despite a couple of sort of events where you do work together or at least come across each other's path in certain instances. They're going to make it so you can form parties together across dungeons, raids, and rated PvP. This isn't available yet, but the change is planned for release as part of the eventual 9.2.5 update sometime after the upcoming major patch, Eternity's End. So that will happen, and then this little add-on will come a little bit later. And my immediate brain said, well, this must be drop-off in subs, and they're having to do this to get populations on servers under control. And, you know, if you've got really uneven sort of Horde Alliance problems on certain servers, then you really open yourself up for issues, even though you're often pulling, from server groups into different groups to try to help make up for that and pad it out. But that leaves some guilds in a bit of a twist because they've got both Horde and Alliance factions, and they can never get those two groups of people together, really. And if they're uneven in any way, it makes it worse. So that's my cynical answer right out of my face. But I don't know if that's actually it. So before we get to how it actually is going to work, I'd love initial impressions here. Like, Jocelyn, why do you think they took this long? And what do you think what's this to accomplish now?
Honestly, I think you're pretty bang on because sub numbers, I think, like, obviously, I don't actually know sub numbers. Everything is very just like anecdotal. My experience is running a raid team right now. And I mean, like, we actually couldn't even run on Tuesday because we couldn't field 10 players. Wow. So and at the beginning of Shadowlands, I was turning people away because we were at the cap of 30. So like our raid team is less than a third of the size it was when Shadowlands launched a year and a bit ago. So I have to think that subs are down.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's an unreasonable stance to take. And why would they not do this in the future or in the past? Well, they didn't have that problem. So why address it with that? You know, they can keep this illusion of factional warfare and the purity of the Horde v Alliance and never the twain shall meet sort of thing. They can maintain that for as long as they can, but at some point the numbers are the numbers. We're 18 years in, like, you got to do something, and this is the something. and we'll get into why it doesn't actually, I think it actually doesn't harm the Horde versus Alliance construct of the game. I'll get to that in a sec, but Garrett, what was your first take when you heard this?
I booed Ian Hezekostas at the last BlizzCon when he said doing this wouldn't make sense.
Yeah, when he said that, I went, I think it'll be
like, do you know your own game? Like, have you ever seen a story from Warcraft play out? Because this shit happens literally when there's a minor inconvenience.
Did you guys know I was afraid they were going to get mad at me for asking that question because it wasn't on the list. I don't know if I ever told anyone this. I asked that question in the Q&A, at least that part where they answered it, because I just really wanted to know if this is ever going to happen. And I was actually a little worried because I was supposed to field a lot of these before we did the thing. And I think that's when he said, no, it's not. We're not, you know, basically just shot it down. And here we are, what, a year, not even a year later, just short of a year later, they're doing it. Anyway, sorry, continue on with what you were saying.
This was answered at 2019, wasn't it?
Was it 2019? Oh, I was thinking this year because I asked him again this year or last year. Sorry, 2020. The one where we did it at home is the one I'm
the
thinking
online
of.
One. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was sitting at the Patrick and he like gave me an eye like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
you were booing.
Yeah. I'm like, it's a stupid friggin' answer.
At you like, oh, you're one of those Americans.
So wait a minute. You actually booed, like audibly booed?
No, he literally went, boo.
Oh, my Lord.
It's BlizzCon. You're messing around. Although I do think it's a stupid ass answer.
Yeah.
I really think I don't know. I think I'm going to make some enemies. I think if you think this is a bad idea, you have no idea what Warcraft story is. Mm. I think no attention.
From a lore standpoint, I think you're right. There's some implementation things that I think are real concerns. But in terms of lore, Gary, you're right. Like, every single expansion has been, we need to come together against insert big bad here. So, yeah, it's very much that.
I agree. Totally agree.
Going back into like Warcraft 3 had that shit going on.
True. Yeah. Thrall and Jaina.
Come on. We know there's some horrible human orc hybrid babies out there somewhere.
Well, I don't know. I wasn't really thinking of that, but okay. Yeah. Now that you mention it, Bane's got a real look in his eye, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, I mean, this is something I've always wanted. Like, I really have always wanted to do this. To me, like PvP concerns aside, I was like, why can't I run a dungeon with my alliance buddy or my horde buddy, depending on what faction I'm on?
Yeah.
Well, and they've already kind of addressed that in PvP because there's the mercenary system, right? So, like, if you're on an overrepresented faction, you can just say, hey, I want to go play for the other faction for a shorter queue time, and you're just a merc at that point. And
that's why I'm glad you're here, Jux, because I have not touched PvP in World of Warcraft since, like,
long time. Yeah, very long time. So, yeah, at least one of us.
So the PvP concern, and even, like, mechanically, lore, whatever, has already been addressed in terms of Alliance versus Hordes.
Then what are the concerns? Let's do it.
Yeah. What do we think their concerns are? I mean, I know what they think their concerns are, but chat room says, are the subs down or is overall engagement down? I don't know if it matters. Does it matter if you're not? I mean, engagement means no one's raiding. If you're talking about raid, let's just take raiding as an example. Low engagement means they might be subbing, but just doing other things because nobody wants to raid. So I guess there could be a difference, but effectively, it doesn't matter. Like, if they're going to have endgame content and no one's engaging with it, whether they're not subbed or they're just not playing that content, they got to do something about it. I would argue that this doesn't fix the potential reasons people are maybe raiding less, though. If that's a problem, I'm actually just assuming that raiding is happening less for possible other reasons. So if we go with that scenario in our heads, the only reason, there's not just the one reason that, oh, well, there's not enough faction balance. If people aren't raiding, it might be because maybe the rating's not as good as it used to be, or maybe people are a little tired of it. So Joss, as someone who raids in the team here currently and still, do you think the content is as compelling as it should be? Is it getting tired? Are you wanting something new? Like, is that part of this reason that they're doing this?
Well, I mean, we've been raiding the same raid since July, so definitely absolutely ridiculous lack of content on the raiding side right now. And that's contributing for sure. But in terms of like the raid itself, this last raid, Sanctum of Domination, was one of my least favorite raids I've done. It had some interesting encounters, but the raid itself was just such a time sink. Like, before you get to the first boss, you have to kill like 10 to 15 minutes of trash, depending on how high your damage is, before you even get to the first boss. And then the whole entire instance has these crazy long runbacks. And it's just like, it felt a lot like they're just trying to keep us in here longer.
I hate being
like the base design of the raid just felt bleh.
I don't like feeling that way. I don't like feeling like I'm being artificially, you know, that's why that trash balance has always been a tricky
even like trash. It was just the size of the raid, like the length of the hallways was insane.
I
get that you're trying to portray like big scale, like this is, you know, the jailer's domain, but like, come on.
For sure. So let's get to what this thing actually is, or what they say they're going to do. Players will be able to directly invite members of an opposing faction into their parties. So Horde to Alliance, Alliance to Horde, obviously. If they are already friends via battle tag or real ID, or if they are members of an existing cross-faction community, these are the people you can invite. When making pre-made groups in the Group Finder tool, they can open applications to members of both factions or just their own faction. I guess you can still control that artificially if you want to just keep it to Horde or whatever. Let's see. They'll be able to communicate through party chat while in the game and trade items, I assume outside the game as well, because that chat happens in the app. Fight together and earn achievements while inside instances. Meanwhile, guilds and all other random matchmaking activities will stay same faction. So this isn't actually going to help you if this is a guild-only raid that you're right. doing. This would only help you if this is like, hey, it's me and 10 of my friends and we're just sort of scattered all over the place. Anyway, players will still remain unfriendly or hostile out in the world, even if they play together. So let's say you met at a stone instead of porting each other in or whatever. You're still technically kind of PvPing it out there if you wanted to.
Yeah, if you're in war mode and you're in a party, it doesn't matter. You can still kill each other.
Yeah.
And people can kill you. And as far as I understand, that would also mean that, like, if Garrett and I are in a party, I'm Horde, he's Alliance, and I'm a healer, and he's taking damage from some other random Horde person, I can't heal him either.
Right.
Like, right. we are hostile, so...
Sure, I understand. Sure, you can't heal me.
Yeah. I can't, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can't. Can't or won't, Joss?
Can't or won't.
A little bit call me, a little bit call me.
Yeah.
Like, can't, but wouldn't if I could.
Yeah, if you could. There you go. Yeah,
but, you know, you should have been a blood elf instead of a night elf, so I'm sorry.
Well, this is an interesting point, because at least that's more fun than the usual sitting around you have to do. I don't know. You could have some real take each other down moments and screw off like that before the raid's ready. And I don't know. There's something to be said, I suppose, for that if you're friends or whatever. A handful of instances with explicit faction divided components will also not work with this cross faction stuff, at least on the outset. And that's an important point, because I think they plan for more of this later. But anyway, this includes battle for Dazala. I never say this one right. Dazaralor. There we go. Trial of the Crusader, Ice Crown Citadel, although these may be reworked in the future. Because if you remember any of those encounters, specifically Ice Crown Citadel, in my memory, there are parts of that thing that the entire scenario is about you being separate and sort of racing to get the Lich King. And, you know, it's not the kind of thing
you can
easily
see. The airship battle, which is a very Horde V Alliance.
Yeah.
Even when you just first walk in, you have like faction leaders
right.
hanging out there in Arthas's foyer.
Yeah.
You know, listening to Bolvar scream as he's tortured.
Yeah. That's back when I had a Rain of Arrows. What was it called?
Volley.
I loved Volley. Oh man. Freaking miss ball.
Yeah, I had a consecrate and make a sandwich. That's how I tanked as a paladin.
Yeah. Could you actually get up and go do the sandwich? How would you move forward? Would you you just sort of, someone in the team would say, Garrett, we've taken care of this.
Off tank, warrior, you got this.
That's great.
Go thunderclap. You got it.
But that's also, we're talking about an era where this separation of factions had a big deal, you know, had a lot more to do with the way they decided to tell the story and sort of lay out the game. So this is all about to change, and those things may get reworked. Here's what Ian Hazakosa said regarding why this is tricky and not more wide-ranging within the game to start with this patch. He says, on a fundamental level, the code was written to assume a party has a faction, and that party's faction is Horde or Alliance. He says there's a bunch of little things in the game that reference that. So it's been a large undertaking of collaboration between our gameplay engineers, our UI, and our content and systems designers. And some of it is also assumptions made in different instances about the group being one faction or the other. We're doing work to unwind and account for the vast majority of those. Some of them are beyond the scope of what we can really deliver in legacy content, like Dazalazar. We want to get there someday, he says. We want to be able to support it, so if you can do your transmog runs, so you can do your transmog runs with your friends. Yeah, so it's not going to be perfect. It's not going to cross the run of the entire history of the game, but it sounds like moving forward, it would. And that's where I have this hot take. I think the next expansion will be designed around this, or at the very least be extremely amenable to this idea that the factions are no longer so separated. And what that means in actual gameplay, I don't know, but I think we're about to get past the idea that faction matters. It's going to not matter so much. And I think I'm okay with it, but part of it feels like we lost a little something, maybe, possibly, if my prediction comes true. Any thoughts on that? You think I'm right? Am I wrong? What do you think? What do you think our new expansion will be with no faction walls, man? Tear down that faction wall, like it'll Garrett.
Be whatever story they want to tell without faction walls, which is kind of the stories they already tell for the most part.
Yeah, pretty much. Lately,
there was Battle for Azeroth was a big exception to that because, like, a major arc of that was a faction war.
Well, but even then, I mean, that was like the beginning of the expansion, right? Like, we came together fairly quickly as soon as there was the whole like Ashara thing, and then we had the N'Zoth thing. Like, there were two major patches in BFA that threw factions out the window and just kind of like mended fences. So yeah,
granted, we did have 2 years of them being like, it's not N'Zoth, guys, we promise it's not N'Zoth. But now, I mean, from a mechanical standpoint, we literally had like Horde continent, Alliance continent.
Yes,
like, there was a clear theme for sure.
Yeah.
Even though it very quickly became everyone against Sylvanas because a horrible person wrote this story and it's terrible.
Yeah.
But yeah,
that's 2 weeks now. It's 2 weeks now. Garrett's been able to slide that sword between the ribs. I like it. Well, two weeks. But nothing wrong with it.
Man, when I think about how much I hate what they've done to Sylvanas, and then I found out how horrible the person was that had a major hand in writing a lot of that, mm-hmm. I'm just like, yeah, this sucks. You suck. You should all feel bad.
Yeah, everyone should feel bad.
But yeah, it's I think it'll be fine. They've told so many stories. More than not, the stories end up in a cross-faction coming together across aisles to defeat a major threat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, no, you're right. It's interesting because most other MMOs have avoided this entire trope by still having factional stuff in their games. But when you play the game play a day, like you're just questing or you're in big cities or whatever, or even chatting, you're not seeing some weird language in chat. You're not, you know, experiencing this weird disconnect between what somebody else chose and what you chose. You play Elder Scrolls.
There isn't even like tagging mobs and like making that then unavailable to you. It's like when I'm out questing an ESO and some other player runs by, I have no idea what faction they are. And it doesn't matter. We just kill a thing together. We both get loot and we say, huzzah.
Yeah, it might matter later when you end up in a PvP match with them, but you'd never know because you don't know what they've chosen. And there is, you know, there's some open world aspects to PvP in that game, but it's everyone opts into it. It's not like a foregone conclusion. That's one example. Final Fantasy 14 is similar, or actually just does away with that, right? Isn't everybody kind of on the same side? They're all just fighting batshit crazy anime monsters, right? Garrett, you're playing.
I'm like, I have no idea.
Yeah. I mean, that's all they do.
The way it handles, I mean, there's like you join a faction, but they are representative of like the three great nations in Eorzea.
That work together all the time.
Yeah. And I mean, if you play through, there's very much like kind of Game of Thrones politics going on. But for the most part, try not to get in the spoilers here. Everyone gets along. Like we're all in it together. Yeah. There's definitely major arcs where that's not the case. But for the most part, the main leaders try to get along and try to, you know, work together towards a common goal.
Sure.
And so you aligning with one of those three major factions is like, I don't know, for me, I was asking around. I'm relatively new, so I don't know if this changes later on, but I was asking, I was like, does it really matter what I join up? They're like, no, do you think elves, pirates, or warriors are cool? That's really all it's asking. I was like, well, I like pirates, so I'm going with pirates.
And pirates are cool. I like that place the most, except the name of the town can bite me, of the main city. That Limsa
Limsa
freaking
what
sucks.
Limsa Lominsa.
It's a it's a terrible name. That's not cool pirate
Limsa.
Name.
Limsa is a cool. I think Limsa is a cool
Limsa
name.
Ask your doctor if Limsa is right for you.
I'm glad both of our heads went the same place, Scott. Honestly,
I really hate it. I don't like it. Well, I don't like when people talk about
the hottest leader too. So you know,
she's awesome. Don't get me wrong.
If your Limsa lasts for more than 3 hours, join.
And her name's weird. Her name's like Greta Merwhip. Von Schlupa.
Merwhip's great. What's wrong with Merwhip?
Barfa Bufa or whatever it is.
She's a murderous psycho when it comes
I like
to
her.
War.
I like Love her. Her words, her name's just ridiculous. But my point is, like, if you want to be a cool pirate, it should be called Blood Rock or something cool. Not Limsa Lopsa. I hate it. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Someone please clip my rant here and put it against me, you know, 6 months ago saying I will never do a Final Fantasy 14 show. If someone could just slap those two together, I'd really appreciate it. I have not gotten enough shit for playing Final Fantasy 14.
You're flip-flopping.
Yeah. I was looking at Kyle like, dude, I'm really starting to like this game. People are going to be all over me. And everyone's just like stoked I'm playing.
Yeah. I think what happened there, I really do think this, it was timing. You made this flip during a time where a lot of people were making this flip. And a lot of people were looking for a place to land when they left WoW. And you happened to be, you know, experimenting at that time. And I think people are way more forgiving at the moment. Given that,
it's been interesting for sure. That's definitely the vibe I get. Yeah. I've seen a few comments that are like, you don't really need to compare it to WoW anymore. And I'm like, I don't know. It's like, it's a journey that I'm on. And for the most part, a lot of other people are on the same journey. So I think that's why I'm finding success, like doing some Final Fantasy content, is because I think I'm in the same place as a lot of people who are coming over from other MMOs.
Yeah, for sure. The one thing I think that they can do with this change, that again, I think aligns itself with what other most MMOs settled on. And you can almost say like, well, it was brave and daring for WoW to start out with this plan to be very faction specific, to stick with what made the RTSs before it so unique. This, you know, humans versus orcs kind of world, we want that to persist. We'll add new races, but they will still be opposed and there'll be tenuous oppositions. And, you know, it's a very high-minded goal. And I think those were good goals. I just think we're to the point now where it's just not going to be, it's not chief among your problems. Chief among your problems is keeping players interested and making sure you can play with your friends. And I think that this gave way to that. While other MMOs probably just said that in the beginning and went, let them all play together. Like, what are we trying to do? Why are we trying to separate people?
In the earlier days of WoW, for me, it was a big deal. And it was a big part of like the kind of the outside of game culture of World of Warcraft as well. Like, I'd be walking around school and it was, everyone had Horde or Alliance patches or pins or stickers on their car. We had gone to the freaking shop and like laser etched a Horde symbol out of plastic and hung it on the wall of the house we were freaking renting in college. Like, it was a big thing. And like, we'd throw house parties and the Alliance kids would show up and we'd give them shit and make them drink the crappy beer. Mm. Like,
as they should.
Mm-hmm. I had just swapped from Alliance. So it was just, you know, it was just part of the fun. I don't, like, me personally, I've been on both factions so many times. It doesn't mean a lot to me now, but it was a fun part of the game.
Yeah.
That was like a big part of the whole identity. The coolest thing about WoW for me, and now I'm experiencing with Final Fantasy 14, is that, you know, at its height, it had such a reach beyond the game itself.
Right.
And it was like, it was this social club that, like, if you knew, you saw someone with like a hunter pin, you're like, oh shit, what's up, dude? What are you playing? What level are you at? What's your race? What's your faction? What server you on? PvP or PvE? And it was just this, you could make friends instantly with people at, like, strangers if you knew they played this game.
Yeah, you'd be at a store wearing a t-shirt and they could say for the Horde and you'd know what they meant and you'd thumbs up and move on, right? Yeah, I totally agree.
So, like, I get it. I get the people are like, God, this feels like something's being lost. And to a certain degree, yeah, I think something is being lost, but they've already started to relax it with PvP things I completely forgot they did. But like over the years, I just think it's become less and less important. And also the stories they've told, which I don't think all of them are inherently bad. I haven't been particularly stoked on the story lately, but you know, the Horde and Alliance always come together. And I always, in my head, I always thought, like, why not? Why not just, why can't I go run a dungeon with my cross faction buddy? I really don't see why that's an issue. Mm. I do like that Ian gave this information that in some places it's a hard coding issue, which makes sense. And I hadn't ever considered that.
Most people don't. Like, this stuff's never as easy as we all think it is. It's like, well, just make them work together or make them play together. It's a problem. Like, it's not that simple. There's usually a lot more to it. This is legacy code in a lot of cases. And they gotta, you know, that's a pretty heavy rework to take this fundamental spine of your, you know, structure of your game and to change it. You can't just do that willy-nilly. But part of me thinks that some of this, I'm not saying I have any insider info on this or I know this for sure. I just get the feeling that it's made less difficult, or it's a little softer of a change for them, because there's a lot of sort of nationalistic factional division in real life right now in lots of different places and ways. Maybe we don't want it in our games as much, you know. Let's make it more about coming together. I don't know. Maybe. I'm just saying.
I think that's always true, though. And it's just certain to me, I think tribalism can be fun. in certain aspects, and I see it across all kinds of different hobbies and social groups. Like, we were talking cars at the top, and there's tons of that in cars, and it can be fun. There are people who take it too far and are absolute dicks about it. But like,
well, you can kind of say that about anything.
Yeah, that's exactly true. I've always been a big Ford fanboy. I like Fords. A friend I grew up with is a big Chevy guy, and we give each other endless shit about Ford versus Chevy, but we're still friends. And we both think each other's cars are pretty rad. Like, it's just a friendly rivalry.
Yeah.
And that's where I like it. And that way I'll defend it, 'cause I think it's fun. And I think it can add, a fun layer to community interaction.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's especially fun in fiction to experience some of those things when they're not as prominent in real life. In other words, I love reading about some medieval sword fight. Part of what I like about it is we're kind of past that, and nobody's having duels every 5 seconds and killing each other with swords. You know what I mean?
No one smacked you with a glove lately, Scott?
Yeah, nobody's had... I just watched The Last Duel, so it's kind of on my mind. But like this sensibility of like, we're past that and better than that, but now it's fun to go back and experience that fantasy. It's a little harder when the real world is at each other's throats and claiming superiority one direction or the other, and then going and having that happen again in a game. I'm not saying this is the impetus for any of this, but part of me thinks a little bit of their heads might be, we don't have to deal with that anymore, or as much, because they're still going to have to deal with it some, obviously. The game's not changing that radically. You know, they're not all holding hands. But I can't imagine that there's the game stepping into the future isn't still tenuously complicated, because the Horde and the Alliance still don't like each other and, you know, are going to have all whatever infights they have and don't like each other's leaders or whatever. I mean, that's part of the deal. It's tribalism. It's as human as our existence. So how are they going to get away from that? I don't think they ultimately can. I think this is more just about, you want to play with your friends and make this easier and make sure you fill out your groups. Here you go. Have fun.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. And I think that in general, I've noticed with the past few patches that there's been a bit of a shift in WoW developer, I don't know if you want to say mentality or direction, but it very much seems like they're taking player feedback. And things that they originally had said, no, never, not going to happen, this is the way we want this thing to work, they're kind of just saying, okay, fine. You know what? Obviously, you guys didn't think that our vision was fun, so here's everything that you wanted. And I think allowing Alliance and Horde to play together is just the next thing on that list of things that players wanted, whether, you know, developers wanted it or not, or thought it was a good idea. It really feels like they're just like, okay, fine. Here's all the changes to the systems that you've asked us for. It's a lot more fun to play now. Mm. And I don't think that's enough to bring people back who have left, but it's at least keeping people happy who are still there.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, you're playing in a raid that we could sure use a little extra, you know, whatever, oomph in terms of...
Oh, God, that's just a write-off now. I'm so glad that 9.2 is coming at some point in the next month or two, because honestly... I am so done with 9.1. Like,
what's the date? Oh, God, do we have a date? Terrible. We don't have a date, do we? There's
no date yet. No, okay. No date. No date officially. No.
Do you think this is a weird question and it has nothing to do with today's topic, but do you think anyone's still running the tower thing? What's it called? Tower of
Torghast.
Torghast. Do you think that's happening? Anyone doing that?
Yep.
Yeah. Really?
You kind of have to.
Oh, yeah. It's been a while since I can't remember how tied it was to your progression, but I guess it is. You just have to.
Yeah. You have to run Torghast to get the stuff to make your legendaries. And in the next patch, we know that you're going to be able to equip two instead of one. So you have to run Torghast, which was my fear going into this expansion. I'm like, that sounds like a nightmare. Turns out it is a nightmare. It's awful. But you have to do it for your character's power level.
Yeah, I was so hopeful for it.
I know. Like, do you remember what we used to talk about?
Some people do really like it. Some people do, but I think it's awful. It's horrible. It's like, it's just one big long trash fight until you get to one final boss. By the time you get to him, it's meaningless because you're so powerful. It's so awful. It's just a time sink.
It wasn't that long ago, Garrett, where you and I were talking about that being the thing we were looking forward to the most when that was announced.
The idyllic version of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it was a proper roguelike, it could have been the killer feature of the expansion, as opposed to, I think, the like the albatross hanging around the neck of Shadowlands. It's just, it just weighs it down. It's and to me, I think I know nothing, right? I don't code Jack. I'm not a programmer. I'm not a developer. But it does. It seems like it's one of these things that's like so core to Shadowlands that I don't know how you would strip it out at this point.
Yeah,
I think they're aware. I think they're very aware that the majority of the player base is very over it, very done with it, wishes it wasn't as tied to the entire length of this expansion as it is. But mm-hmm. So I would be very freaking surprised if we saw anything like this ever again.
Yeah.
But the, you know, the matter of fact is it is here. And it's kind of, I have to imagine it is difficult to design around.
The method that the Final Fantasy world might have taken to Torghast was, here's a new thing you can do if you feel like it. That's it.
They have one. They
do, right? They have one. They kind of have a thing like
the
that.
The Palace of the Dead is basically Final Fantasy 14 Torghast. And it was years before Torghast when that landed.
Right. But my point is, like, they'll make a thing like that and say, hey, for lack of a better term, a new attraction at the park. Come have fun in there. And if you like it, great. And you'll get rewarded for doing it, but it's not required. If you'd rather just be a bard in town and, you know, play bad covers of Beatles songs, you can do that too. Like, I really like that thinking about an MMO where people have carved through your story and your scripted content, and now what are they left to do? Well, give them a variety of things to do and don't make them do really drudgery-based things to get there. I don't know why that is.
I'm still a long way away. Long way away from being done with quote-unquote leveling in Final Fantasy 14, but the vibe I am getting is that every little side thing that has ever existed in the game is still just as relevant and just as enticing at the end of every expansion as it was when it launched. Like, I'm getting this, like, when you think back to all the things you were doing in Vanilla or all the things you were doing in BC or all the things you're doing in Wrath of the Lich King, and some of that is still, you know, things you want to go do depending on what you're into, right? In
sure.
World of Warcraft, like maybe you still want to go get another Drake. That's still there for you.
There's still nothing there.
Stopping you from going and doing that.
Yeah.
But it feels like there's a little bit more of that, and it's been applied evenly across every expansion they've ever put into Final Fantasy 14.
Yeah.
And I think it is just kind of shifting, you know, popular public opinion on kind of what people want out of an MMO. You know, and everyone's a little different, right? Because then there's more than just two. Just for the purposes of keeping this conversation manageable, we're kind of doing this 1v1 comparison.
Sure, and there's many more. Yeah. I mean, I personally like the way ESO does it with, like, flattening the leveling system across the game. Some people don't like that. I love it because I can go do what I want when I want. Everybody's going to have a different take on that. But yeah, I think we are entering a space where the social destination of an MMO is increasingly more important than the story you did and the gear you grind. Like, I think that's going to be part of things, especially a fantasy MMO, but I think what that place provides you in social ways, transmog, mounts, weird effects, toys in the game, meeting up in weird places, doing stuff with your friends that's just fun and idle. Like, I think that's going to start taking, you know, it already is taking a bigger role for people. There are people that play Fortnite just to stay with their friends and not shooting anything. They just go in there and hang out and talk and run around the world and build a quick tower out of wood and then fall off of it and laugh at each other. Like, it's super dumb. It sounds like on the surface, but once you get in there, you realize, no, they're just looking for their social space. And,
you know, when I was in college, we used to go take over when I was playing Alliance. We would go take over the Undercity Bank and we would just, like, sit there for like 2 hours just drinking Dr. Pepper and bullshitting. Like,
Yeah.
Well, and that's kind of the social aspect, I think, is the biggest problem or the biggest hurdle that I'm going to have to get over as a guild leader, because you can't do this cross-faction stuff in guild, right? So, like, as soon as this was announced, the first thing that, like, five of my players said, and remember, I can't even field 10. We're like, oh, yeah, we get to be night elves. Amazing. It's all my druids were just like, we're night elves now. And I was like, okay, but that means, like, we lose guild chat. We lose, like, the guild bank functionality. Like, if you guys want to be night elves, great. We can still come together and raid. But, like, our community is going to be split in half. Like, that sucks. Mm-hmm. And you can make a cross-faction community, but it doesn't have all the functionality of a guild. So I'm like, they could fix that with having like guild housing where I could just go build a house in Azeroth somewhere and like have it be neutral and have like a bank and a vendors and all the rest of it be there and be neutral, but they're not doing that. So I'm just like, oh man, like my raid team is just like, we're not going to be able to communicate in game anymore. Like half of my people are going to like, I'm going to have to make like a get your crit together alliance guild and like somehow like try to keep everybody together. Like it's going to be a real challenge, I think, unless you're the kind of guild, which we are not, that says you shall play this class, play this like race, be in this place. Like I don't dictate players' experiences like that. So man, this has really put me in a pickle, I'm not gonna lie. Like the social aspect is a really big piece.
Yeah.
Boy howdy.
Yeah.
Boy howdy.
Boy howdy indeed. Now before we move on, I just wanted to make a comment. Jocelyn, I noticed you're using my mouse mat from an old Nerdtacular and I love that.
Oh yeah. I love that you're still using that.
Look at that. I love it. That just made me happy to see.
I think it was my first Nerdtacular actually in 2012.
Yeah, that would be about then.
Oh my god, that mouse pad's 10 years old.
Yep. I don't like thinking about it.
Oh, buddy.
And still, and people. Go ahead, Garrett.
Where's the stormtrooper walking the AT-AT? I have that one. It lives in my laptop bag.
Oh, good. That's where it should live. That's a great place for that to live. It's a wandering notepad with a wandering monster on it, or a wandering robot.
It's been all over the States.
This one still gets stolen all the time, and then someone tries to make shirts out of it or whatever, and I have to tell some websites to tear it down. In fact, a guy tried to sell me an NFT of this once.
I bet he did.
Yeah, of
I
my own my I, own thing. I annoyed me.
Scott, are you saying that NFTs are scams?
I'm saying a lot of NFTs are scams.
I can't believe you're telling me there are scams happening in NFTs. Yeah,
feels a little scammy when someone tries to sell your own artwork that you have a 28 layer Photoshop file of on your own hard drive, trying to sell you that and actually minted it. They minted it and put it on OpenSea. A-holes. OpenSea took it down, though. Anyway, let's move on to what we were playing this week. And we'd love to hear your feedback, by the way. We'll get to emails in a second. I did want to mention I picked up Dying Light 2, or actually got a code from the developer for the new Dying Light game, which is a sequel to Dying Light 1. Obviously, a very popular, well-thought-of zombie game where you had to try to not be out at night or else the zombies got real bad and killed you. A lot of parkour elements, that sort of stuff. This is more of that, but really emphasizing the traversal aspects of it. The parkour in this is so freaking fun. I really recommend it. I was unsure because I think the acting kind of sucks. I think the story so far is a little fine, a little rote, whatever. Graphics are amazing. I'm playing it on a 3080 and it's beautiful. The ray tracing stuff is insane in that game. If your computer can handle it, I highly recommend it.
Ryzen 1070.
Yeah, Ryzen 1070, exactly.
2080 is even starting to feel a little long in the tooth over here.
I got real lucky real early on this gen, but anyway, it's really rad, and moving around that world just feels great, and you're in constant run mode, so there's no sprint mode. You're literally sprinting all the time, and it just feels real good. I'm just surprised. Also, killing zombies with bats and axes feels as good as it ever did, so... if you're into it, that just came out yesterday, in fact, and I like it.
I didn't realize that it had come out. I never played the first one, but it looks good. It looks fun to play, so yeah. I'm glad to hear that it is fun to play.
Yeah, the first one I think was good, and it had a good overall package, but it wasn't the minute-to-minute play. The mechanics of it weren't as fun as I felt like maybe they could be. This feels like a huge step in that direction to make it way more fun to play. But kept it, you know, big and exciting and a little scary and all of that. And I'm not that far into it to give it like a full review or anything. But my first impressions are good. But boy, the acting's bad. It's really bad. Some of it, not all of it. Some of it's Jill. Okay. The man, not that bad. It's not nearly as bad as Jill or Barry, but it's pretty bad. Joss, you played one of my favorite games of last year. Tell us about Inscription.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I love this game.
Okay, so this is the kind of game that everyone says, oh, you gotta play it, you're gonna love it, you gotta play it, you're gonna love it. Why? Well, because there's cards.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So Inscription is a deck builder, which I traditionally do not like.
Not your favorite, but, is it? You like the CCGs, but not really the builders very much.
Yeah, like I like somebody else to be smart and build me a thing so I can steal it and play it. which this is not. That being said, I did really enjoy, so I haven't quite finished it yet. I mean, it's split into kind of three different sections. So I finished the first two sections. I'm into the third now. And so far, the part of it I liked was the first section. I really liked the UI and the way that you interacted with the card game. Mm-hmm. And I really liked the kind of creepy horror, like stuck in a cabin in the woods vibe. And they throw it out for the last two thirds of the game. So I'm kind of like, I'm playing through it now. And I'm like, okay, this is still kind of cool. In the second act, they introduce like a whole new deck building mechanics, three whole new deck building mechanics instead of just the one from the first act, which is kind of cool. But then, yeah, it just, I don't know. I get what they're trying to do. And it's from the same people that made Pony Island, which has a very like outside the game stuff going on too. Like it's bigger than you think it is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know, man. Like I really liked the vibe of the first section and it's lost me later on.
That's a bummer. I really liked everything I played all the way through, although I guess I didn't finish it, but it's there was something about that kind of lo-fi graphic take that really, really got me. And
yeah, because you're into that. All the retro stuff too. Like as soon as
it's got like a, I haven't played this because I hate deck builders. But it looks like PS1, N64. It's got this like retro 3D.
Oh yeah,
which is becoming more and more of a common thing I'm seeing, and I love that retro 3D is a aesthetic now.
I'm glad it's working because I was worried that would never happen. Like pixels, I get it, they're forever, and everyone will always make pixel art, and it'll always be cool. But I worried that PS1 era kind of crusty, jittery, you know, poorly, you know, jaggy edge looking polygon crap was never gonna have any sort of resurgence, and they figured out kind of a metal, kind of guerrilla way to make it work, and this is a good example of that. Devolver makes, you know, they publish games, they didn't develop this as one guy, but mm-hmm. They publish games like this all the time, and I absolutely love the aesthetic, so it actually works really well. But yeah, if you don't like deck builders, ultimately I really like deck builders as opposed to CCGs, it's more my jam. So I like Slay the Spire, I like, you know, Monster Train, these kind of games really get me, then you'll probably really like this game. But even Joss, who doesn't like deck builders, looks like he got far enough to at least appreciate the weirdness that is Inscription. So it's cool.
I kind of just wanted to see like where the story was going, but even that really hasn't hooked me necessarily as much as I would think. I'm playing it to get to the end because my co-host on Gamers In played it and said he beat it in 10 hours. And I was like, I can do that. It's more of a competition now.
Hours.
Yeah, but oh my god, he just had the most RNG horseshoes up his butt ever because it took me 10 hours just to get through the first part. And he's like, oh, well, you just have to go for these things. I'm like, those are all offered to you randomly. Yeah. You're not guaranteed any. Like, you got the best possible build on your first run, you ass.
Yeah, that's true. You know what's great, though? Bill Duran, our mutual friend Bill Duran, who makes a bunch of props and stuff, usually in and around video games, he made a... You know how you get the extra squirrel, Jocelyn, as a...
Yeah, squirrel in a bottle.
In a bottle. He made that. He made a dirty-looking, nasty, used-up-looking bottle with a cork in it, and inside a custom print of this... Of that. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Well, and that's the thing. I loved the aesthetic of the cards in the first section. I loved how you were just like sitting at this table playing with this guy, and it was like you were across the table from him instead of like... This weird, like, apparently it looks like the Pokemon, like, Game Boy game or something like that. The in the second section, that's how the game's set up for you, is just like this thing on the screen. And it lost me hard when it switched aesthetics in the second act.
Well, I still say people should check it out. Maybe get it on, you know, I don't know. It'll be on sale at some point. And also,
it was on sale when I picked it up.
Oh, you did good.
Through the winter sale or whatever on Steam. Yeah.
It seems like they're having nonstop sales these days. And it seems like Red Dead Redemption 2 really wants me to buy it for $30. I don't know why that's always up front. Have you noticed that? Right as soon as you open Steam, Red Dead 2. Every time. It doesn't matter. Lunar sale, winter sale, whatever. There's Red Dead 2. I'm like, I own you already. Why are you there? Anyway, Garrett, what have you been up to? What
are you playing? Fantasy.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
You don't say.
Weird. That's Final great. Fantasy. And you've been doing the Palace of the Dead there.
Started streaming on Mondays with Kyle. We did a stream over on our YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. We're starting to do that. And so this past week, we dipped our first toe into hard modes for the Realm Reborn dungeons.
Nice.
Which there on one video, we have probably 70 comments all saying roughly to the effect, do you know that hard modes aren't actually hard, but they're more like sequels to the story of the dungeon? So Scott, did you know that hard modes in Final Fantasy 14 aren't actually hard, but they're more like sequels to the story or additional story to the dungeon?
I had no idea. That's news to me.
Yeah. So we did our first one, which was freaking awesome. We did, if for those who know your Final Fantasy 14 dungeons, we did the Tamtara Deepcroft hard mode, which picks up what you could easily discount as the most random, like, NPC aside from leveling through a Realm Reborn in a really interesting way.
Interesting. Yeah, that game's famous for doing that. Taking stuff that seems so, like, well, I'll never see that guy again. And then later it's like, oh, huge deal with that weird NPC I thought I was never going to see again. I think that's a really cool thing that game does.
We did our first, like, steps into Palace of the Dead, which is the Torghast, even though it predates Torghast. And that's cool. I have since learned that a lot of Final Fantasy XIV players use Palace of the Dead to learn new jobs or classes when they pick them up.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because if you start a new run, it starts you at level one and it restricts your abilities.
Oh, that could be.
Because I went and picked up Red Mage. I went and picked up the Red Mage job. Yeah. And there were so many buttons. I was just like, never mind. I'm going right back to Summoner. I don't feel like learning this right now.
Yeah.
But apparently if I went into Palace of the Dead, it would only give me what I'm allowed to use at level one. And then you hit level two and it unlocks whatever you have for level two and so on and so forth. And you level up very quickly as you're doing a fresh run. So it has this kind of life beyond what it originally launched as this place where a lot of people like to go and learn their new class that they picked up.
I like when the community ends up using a thing for a thing that it wasn't intended to do and the devs let them. I like it.
Yeah.
If Torghast did this, Blizzard would patch the shit out of it if Torghast did this. They wouldn't do it. Right? I mean, why wouldn't they? That's just the way it is. That's their MO. They'd be like, oh, you're not supposed to do that. You're using it the way we didn't intend.
This isn't how you use this.
Yeah.
Block.
Yeah, block.
We have a very rigid belief for what this should be, and we refuse to be moved from that rigid belief.
Yeah. I hope that's changing. I feel like it might be.
You want to fly conveniently? Yeah. You don't want to spend 2 months grinding rep for flying? Too bad. That's what we want to do, even though it used to be convenient and we used to actually design lands around it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and also, no flight whistle for you.
Yeah, no flight whistle. Oh my gosh, the flight whistle.
And then let's take away the one thing that made it somewhat bearable.
It so you just didn't want to kill yourself. Gosh dang it.
Good job, all right, guys. Good job.
Always have a flight whistle handy. All right, there you go. That's what we've been up to. That's going to do it for today's show. I want to thank some patrons who supported us here recently. ML Dirks. I love that name. He signed up at the common level. We got Timothy Coley also at the common level. And at the Warforged level, we love that level, we got Daniel Catt. Those are just three of the many patrons who are now supporting us. And we'd love to see you there, too. It's a new month, a chance to hop on board and be a part of backing us. So check it out. That's patreon.com/instance. And you can learn all about what you get when you go there. Let's wrap around the table and find out what
pre-show
people are
doing. Is hilarious. You should really sign up and get the pre-show.
Yeah, you should get the pre-show because it's about today. We talked about Boba Fett. No spoilers. We talked about I haven't seen it yet.
A little bit of spoilers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I haven't seen a single episode. Neither has Joss. And it wasn't the kind of spoiler where we were like, oh no, I can't believe you said it. It's
or
just,
now I don't I even
spoil
have to
anything that. Yeah. I did Mile High. Like it's just
Pretty obvious stuff.
Everything.
Sure. Yeah. So we talked a bunch about that.
If you're on Twitter, you know what I said.
Yeah. So we use that time to talk kind of about what's just on our heads. So if you think that sounds interesting, great time to sign up. Patreon.com/instance. Let's let everyone talk about what they have coming up this week. Jocelyn, what do you got going?
I've actually been streaming on Friday nights on over on Twitch. So if you guys are interested, then head on over to twitch.tv/JossPlays, JOCEPlays. I've been playing Hearthstone, but I'm putting a poll out every Friday afternoon to see what people want me to play. And I mean, Hearthstone just crushes everything else right now. But, maybe people get sick of watching me lose. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe they'll get around it. You can play that scary game again. Whatever the hell is it called? Day by Lipsilosum Lopsin. All right, anyway.
Yeah, that one.
Hey, Garrett.
Dawn of the Deadlight.
Garrett, what are you doing? I mean, you mentioned some of it. Tell us more about the YouTube thing.
Yeah, we're doing a little bit more over at youtube.com/amovetv. We're still doing, Kyle and me are putting up a new Final Fantasy 14 video every Wednesday morning, but now we are also doing a Monday stream at around 2 o'clock Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. So if you want to come hang out with us live, we stream it right there on the YouTube channel. So if you're already subscribed, because I know you love the Final Fantasy 14 videos, you should get Go Live notifications. You can just hang out right there, chat with us, hang out, tell us how to run dungeons. Nice. We've been going in the dungeons blind, and chat has just been like giving us tips, and it's been working out really well. So far, no one's bold-faced lied to us to get us to die for their own amusement.
Well, you never know when those guys are going to creep up, but I'm glad to hear they have left you alone. That's fantastic. Quick note, the retro show I do now is doing gangbusters. We're doing real great. Check it out. Play Retro, it's called. Get it wherever you get your podcasts. This week or next week, we talk about the run and gun genre that started in the 80s and continued through most of the 90s. And even today, things like Contra, Metal Slug. If any of these sound interesting to you, or that you remember plugging quarters into these things or buying them on consoles, well, the good news is we're going to be talking about those. So check that out on Mondays, and you can find that podcast wherever you get your shows. And that's going to do it for us. For me, for Garrett, for Jocelyn, we'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.